The original version is the 11th month, the year 2015. The current version is the 5th month, the year 2020. Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 11th month, the 26th day, the year 2015. And it's Thanksgiving Day in this United States of America, this harlot. Anyway, we always tell the people that we do celebrate Thanksgiving on this day. And this whole week, it's our harvest week. And we thank God for all the gifts He's given us in the past year. First, the spiritual gifts and the spiritual graces. For the sanctification and salvation of our souls, and for the sanctification and salvation of others. And then we thank Him for all the temporal goods He's given us. And indeed, we can testify that God said that when you serve Him and you obey Him, He will give you 100-fold in this world. And God has certainly done that, too. So we thank Him for that. But more importantly, today's also the feast day of the purification of the good Saint Anne, who conceived the Immaculate Conception, our Blessed Mother Mary, the second greatest miracle of all time, second to the Incarnation. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the Blessed Virgin Mary. We're going to title this lecture, In Thanksgiving For and To the Blessed Virgin Mary. The first thing we thank God is for the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the great graces and gifts He's given her to be the greatest and most perfect creature that God ever created. And without God giving her the grace and all the other helps that she needed to be the most perfect creature God ever created, she could not be perfect. She would be a sinner and she would be a reprobate. All of us would be. So the first thing, we give glory to God and we thank Him for all the graces and all the other helps He gave to the Blessed Virgin Mary. But let's not forget now, secondly, we have to thank the Blessed Virgin Mary herself because she cooperated with those graces most perfectly. Now, the Immaculate Conception was the first miracle our Lord had done for the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is indicating to everybody that she is going to be the greatest creature God ever created. But that's just the first thing. It's not the only thing, because if she was conceived immaculate, which means she did not have original sin, the stain of original sin, nor the concupiscence of the flesh, nor the venom of original sin. She was pure. But when she was born, she has still had free will. And she could have sinned, committed an actual sin, a venial sin or a mortal sin. And it's another dogma that she never sinned at all. This is the greatness of Mary. That's her part that she played. She cooperated with God's graces and all the help God gave her by never sinning. And she used her free will to make those choices. So we have to give thanksgiving to the Blessed Virgin Mary for cooperating with God's graces most perfectly, obeying all of His commandments and having never sinned. That is one of the qualifications for her, first of all, to give birth to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ would never come down to earth and take on the human flesh of a woman who had any kind of sin at all or ever sinned at all. He's going to come into the most perfect creature that He ever created. That's one of the parameters. And God, in His foreknowledge, knowing how great Mary was going to be, He granted her ahead of time the miracle of the Immaculate Conception. But nevertheless, the Blessed Virgin Mary cooperated with those graces. It's very important to understand that she could have sinned, but she did not sin. Not even a venial sin. We read about in Ecclesiasticus 31, 9 to 11. Who is he? And we will praise him, for he hath done wonderful things in his life, who hath been tried thereby and made perfect, he shall have glory everlasting. He that could have transgressed and hath not transgressed, and could do evil things and hath not done them. Therefore are his goods established in the Lord and all the church of the saints. Now other people also, we say saints could have been born with original sin though, not like Mary, baptized, free from sin, and not sinned also. There's other things that make Mary great, which we can get into later. But this was one of the absolute parameters for the Blessed Mother to be the Mother of God and to give birth to Jesus Christ, God and man, was that she could not have sinned at all. Not have sinned at all. Well, let's take a look at Moses, who is an extremely holy man and the top 20 or maybe even lower than that of the holiest men that ever lived. And we know that Moses, once he converted, when he's 40 years old, he converted, became a faithful Jew. He was very faithful. I mean, he cooperated with God's grace, except on one thing, which he disobeyed God, and he committed a mortal sin. And so God said, because of this mortal sin, I will not let you physically go into the promised land. You're going to still save your soul. You can confess your sin, but now you're not going to be able to take the people into the promised land. And he was proving there that what made Moses great, truly, was because he cooperated with God most of the time. But he failed on that one thing. That one thing. And that one mortal sin is enough to send you to hell if you don't repent of it. But this gives you an idea of how great Mary is, because she never committed a mortal sin like that, nor a venial sin. Now, we read how it's God's will that we don't sin. People speak heresies today that we can't help but sinning. But how many times does God tell us,
to go and sin no more. What did he tell him? He's a great sinner, and then came to ask for forgiveness. And he said, go and sin no more. John 8:11. And he said to the man who was crippled because of his own sins, he says, go and sin no more, lest some worse thing happen to you. That's in, and this one's in John 5:14. We read in Ecclesiasticus 7:21, turn to the Lord and forsake thy sins. So it's God's will for all men never to sin, and he promises to give you the grace and help not to sin. So if you sin, it's always your fault. Now, going back to what we were saying about the Blessed Virgin Mary, there was two other human beings that were created, you might say, like an Immaculate Conception, and we're talking about Adam and Eve, their original creation. They were created pure, no original sin, no venom of original sin, no concupiscence of the flesh. It's like an Immaculate Conception, the original creation of Adam and Eve. And they too could have sinned, and they did sin, and Mary didn't. And because of the result of their sin, we inherit that original sin down till today. If you want to read about the miracle of Immaculate Conception, you can read my book, and I'm not going to talk about the details on that now. Us Catholics who believe in that, I'm just talking about the greatness of Mary cooperating with those graces. We tend to think the Immaculate Conception, great miracle, yes. But without her cooperating with God's grace, the miracle would have been undone. And of course, God knew she was going to do this in his predestined mind, so he gave her the miracle. But my whole point in this lecture is that Mary used her free will to cooperate with God's graces as perfect as any creature ever could. She loved God as much as any creature ever could too. So we know she never sinned, so she kept all of God's commandments, right? We read about God's decree from beginning when he's told the Jews in the Old Covenant that you have to keep all his commandments. We read about this in Deuteronomy 11:27-28. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God. She obeyed them most perfectly, and she was blessed, and she was most blessed above all creatures because she also had the most good things, virtues and other good things that any creature can ever have. So there's other reasons why she's the greatest creature. But to be the mother of God, it was necessary for her to obey all of God's commandments and to have never sinned. And what does Jesus say when he talks about here? Sort of like a mystery. First, some people think he was being disrespectful for his mother, but he wasn't. He was really exalting her in this verse. Luke 8:21. They said, where's your mother and where's your brethren? And Jesus says, my mother and my brethren are they who hear the word of God and do it, who obey my laws and obey my commandments. He says that again in Matthew 12:50. It's a repeat. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father that is in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Now, Prats can take this negatively and say, see, his mother was nothing special. Anybody could be my mother. But what he's saying is, no, but Mary was my mother. I did come to earth through her flesh. And because she was so perfect in her obedience to my commandments and never sinned, that's why I chose her, not because she was a racial Jew. I didn't come into her womb and say, well, she's good just because she's my biological mother. And she was Jesus Christ's biological mother with the human nature. And he said, that's not the reason why she's good. The reason why she's good is she obeyed all my commandments and never sinned, and therefore I made her my mother. I would have never come down and taken on any other kind of a mother. But that's why he's saying that here. He says, my mother and brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it. So he's telling us that his mother not only heard the word of God and did it, she heard the word of God and did it better than anybody ever could do, or as good as anyone ever can. And that's why he chose her as his mother. That's what he's saying there. My mother's great, not because she's my biological mother, not because she descended from the line of David, not because she's a racial Jew. I made her my mother because her spiritual soul was totally obedient to me in everything. Never sinned, kept all my commandments, and loved God as much as any creature can ever love God. What does Jesus tell us is a meter of his love? He says, you can tell you love God if you obey all of his commandments. If you don't obey all of his commandments, you don't love God, no matter how much you can sing hymns to him. You can get a warm, cushy, cozy feeling inside you. You don't love God if you're not obeying all of his commandments. That's the meter. We read about this in John 14:23-24. Jesus answering said to them, if anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. He that loveth me, keepeth my commandments, he says. And so, because Mary kept all his commandments so perfect, she loved him as much as any creature could ever love God, because she kept all of his commandments. So the big thing we established here, though, is, first of all, to get rid of that one heresy that people are trying to say that we all sinners, none of us can be perfect and holy. Let's read how many times God was telling us in the scriptures that he wants all of his rational creatures, us human beings, to be perfect and holy. He says this in
Leviticus 19:2, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and thou shalt say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Deuteronomy 18:13, thou shalt be perfect and without spot before the Lord your God. Matthew 15:48, be ye there perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 Peter 1:15 to 16, but according to him that called you, who is holy, be you also in all manner of conversation holy, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. St. Paul says in Ephesians 1:4, we should be holy and unspotted before the Lord. So even though we've been sinners, when we come into the Catholic Church, our goal is to be perfect and holy, and God doesn't ask you to do something that's impossible. He even says, guess what? It's really easy to be perfect and holy. It's really easy not to sin. It's the hard thing is when you sin. That's what's hard. The devil puts you under this illusion, because you're addicted to your sin. My point was, when he created Adam and Eve, he gave them all those graces and helps to be perfect and holy. Just like he gave every creature. And he gave Mary all those graces to be perfect and holy. And what made her really perfect and holy was because she cooperated with those graces, whereas Adam and Eve didn't. Now, they repented later on. They're in heaven, Adam and Eve, and they confessed their sins and all that. My point on this is God's will for us to be perfect and holy. That's why we imitate our Blessed Mother. She's the most perfect creature that God ever created, the most holiest of all creatures, the most obedient of all creatures, who loves God more than any creature could, and we have to imitate her. And she's saying, if I did it, you can do it. And if you haven't reached the heights that I've had, at least when you commit your sins, confess them, you're never going to get into heaven until you're totally purified. You can't sin, and you got to be perfect and holy. It's God's will for you to do this on earth, for all people. And in his predestined mind, he looked at the Blessed Virgin Mary and said, she's the greatest of all my creatures. Not only is she going to never sin, obey all my commandments, and love me as much as any creature can love me, I'm going to also give her many good things and many virtues that no other creature will have. Not even St. Michael has as many good things, although St. Michael is also perfect and holy and pure and loves God as much as you can love anybody. But Mary has more good things than St. Michael. That's it. I go over that in one of my lectures. You'll have to listen to that. But my main point in this particular lecture is to say, I thank you, Blessed Mother. I thank you, Blessed Mother. I thank you for cooperating with God's graces. Because if we didn't have the Blessed Mother, we wouldn't have God coming down to earth as a man to redeem us. But in God's foreknowledge, he knew he was going to get a Blessed Mother. But she needs to get the thanksgiving for cooperating with God's graces so perfectly. And so she, we truly say, is the beginning of our redemption. Because without Mary, there's no Jesus taking on human flesh and dying for our sins and redeeming us, and we all go to hell. So she's co-redemptrix. Because without her giving her flesh to God, we got no God to redeem us. God's death on the cross is the actual thing that redeemed us, but she was the beginning of our redemption. And what made her worthy of being the mother of God and to be chosen for the Immaculate Conception miracle was because God looked at her soul before it was even created. He knew all things. All things are known to the Lord God before they're created. It's in the Bible somewhere. So he knew she's going to be the most perfect of all his creatures. And he knew that she was going to obey all of his commandments and that she was going to never sin, not even a venial sin. So we thank you, Mary, on this Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord God, for giving Mary all the graces and helps to be perfect and holy. And we thank you, Blessed Mother, for cooperating with those graces. And we pray in our life that we may imitate you so that we can also become perfect and holy and sin no more. And we pray for the conversion of all non-Catholics out there that are of goodwill, that God knows, that they can also come to the Catholic Church and understand that without true devotion to Mary, you can't even be called a Christian. And only Catholics are Christians, which means you can't even be a true Catholic. Protestants need to understand the importance of Mary if they want any hope to be saved. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.